we need today. We've needed this moment. This COVID-19 is just kind of, as everybody knows, made things a mess. But we've needed to gather as family, and it's great to see so many of you here. And we needed to gather as God's family so that we can say thank you, Lord, for being so generous in giving us the gift of Marguerite, and so that we can celebrate her resurrection unto eternal life. You know, as I was thinking about Marguerite, one of the beautiful things about her life is she learned to trust the Lord. She fell in love with Jesus, for she studied Scripture throughout her whole life, and as she learned more and more about the love of God demonstrated and given to us in Jesus Christ, when she saw how much God loved her, it helped her fall into an even deeper love with the Lord. When she recognized how Jesus went to the cross to take the punishment her sins deserved and then rose to new life so that he could then give that victorious new life to her, she was pretty amazed by that grace of God. And that marked the way she lived from then on. And as I was going through scriptures, I found one that I thought just describes Marguerite to the T. It's Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be a tree planted by water, sending its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. And we've gathered today because we are wanting to celebrate Marguerite's life. She was that tree that was strategically planted and deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. And because she was deeply rooted in Christ, her faith just continued to grow and her life continued to blossom. And it produced fruit, not for herself, but for us to enjoy. I also want to say thank you to everyone that's here, but especially to Ron Schaefer and his family. You know, she certainly knew you as a brother in Christ, and what you symbolize for us that are not immediate family, you symbolize how she embraced so many as extended family with that big heart that God gave her. We remember where she sat in the pew. It's where Dennis is, and those flowers are in her honor. But we mark the pew not because it was her usual place or consistent habit. That spot marks that faithful dedication, that faith that wanted to be here time and time again to celebrate God for the love that flowed so freely to fill her and enable her to love others even more. So her spot in the pew is marked not by the great number of times she sat there, but it's there to remind us of her dedicated faith, that just knew it was a joy whenever you could get with the Lord. Psalm 146 says, happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Marguerite was more than happy. She was joyful because she learned that no matter how hard she leaned on the Lord, the Lord was able to support her and uphold her. And so, yeah, she worried from time to time about this or that, but she worried less and learned to pray more. Even in these latter years, as her body became more physically limited, she knew what a joy it was to just put your trust and your hope in the Lord. And she spent her time in prayer. She knew prayer was powerful. She knew that when you connect with God, anything becomes possible. And our church has done well because she was a prayer warrior for us. She was a prayer warrior for you, her family. And that all came out of being deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. So what we need to do today is rejoice. Rejoice in the wonderful time that we had her, 95 years. And we need to celebrate her resurrection as we put our faith and our trust in God's promises, which say, "I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose great mercy gave us a new birth into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The inheritance to which we are born is one that nothing can spoil or wither. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear God. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, says the Lord." If you will, in the program, in your bulletin, there is a call to worship, and we will read that responsively. So if you'll turn there, let us celebrate her life and resurrection. "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives,
and that in the end he will stand on the earth.
And in my flesh, I will see God.
I myself will see him, who is my friend and not a stranger.
We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Praise the Lord." And let us pray. As we gather in your presence this afternoon, O Lord, we do indeed turn to you for comfort and for strength. Allow the resurrected Jesus Christ to be our rock and salvation, our present help in time of trouble. Just as you were for so many years for Marguerite, who knew and discovered the joy of trusting you with her life. And because your loving presence is always with us, whether we realize it or not, show us now your grace, so that as we face the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity. Speak to us once more your solemn message of life and death, and help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days here are ended, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that whether it be in living or in dying, our life may be in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. At Marguerite's request, I'm going to have Cynthia McCracken bless us with the singing of "How Great Thou Art."
Have made. stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
This time, I'm going to ask Courtney Chandler to come up, and she's going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Hi, everyone. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, sorry, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? Thanks, guys.
In Bible study, and Marguerite was in a lot of Bible studies here in this church and during the course of our time together. But in Bible study, we once looked at Psalm 91, and she goes, oh, I love that psalm. It's one of my favorites. And she went on to talk about, you know, what the Lord had done for her. And what she was saying and all that she described as it related to this passage is she learned that the greatest source of strength and the greatest possible help came not from within, but from beyond herself. It came from the Lord. And it is my prayer that as we remember this passage that she described as being one of her many favorites, it would be one that would also bring comfort to you. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He'll call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we remember Marguerite, I'm going to ask Kathy Miles if she wants to come forward and share a few words. Kathy?
I really don't need this microphone as loud as I am. Before I share a few memories of Nanny, I want to give a brief acknowledgement to a few people. Nancy and Sandy, thank y'all for always checking on Nanny and making sure that she was okay. And especially Sandy, thank you that day when she had fallen for going over there and knocking on her window and checking on her. It's because of you that we were able to get her help. And last but not least, Kay Brock, Aunt Kay, on behalf of our entire family, we would like to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for giving all of yourself so selflessly to see that their mother and our nanny, Marguerite Brock, was loved and taken care of for the last 20 years. You went above and beyond to make sure she had everything she wanted and everything she needed. We are fortunate to have you, someone whose mission is to show love, patience, and kindness. You are proof that angels do walk among us. We love you, and we are blessed to have you as a part of our family. Hi, everyone. I am the granddaughter of Marguerite. My mom was her oldest daughter. And growing up, we lived in Corrigan. We visited Nanny weekly. When we would go visit, she would always have some type of dessert made for my sister Martha and I. And every year, we would always take our new school clothes to her to show to her. She always wanted our school papers. She would always tell us, "Don't just bring me the good papers, bring me the bad papers too." And it was a tradition that we spent every Thanksgiving with her. We always had to have a butterball turkey, and we always had to eat at noon, right on the dot. As I grew older, and after the birth of my oldest daughter, I was sitting outside on her back steps, and I was rocking my daughter back and forth, singing, "You Are My Sunshine." A few months later, Nanny gave me a musical gift that she had ordered, It was a music box that played "You Are My Sunshine." And when I married, even though Nanny was on a budget, she bought me the real silverware. She was always sentimental, very thoughtful, and very loving. She always wanted pictures of us to bring to her to put on her wall of fame. One day after visiting her, she gave me my folder of all of my school papers, not only the good papers, but the bad ones as well. Over the years, I moved away. I always knew Nanny was the one person that I could call who would keep my conversations private and who would always pray with me on the phone. I called her quite frequently to vent, ask for advice, and especially to ask for prayers for myself and my children. My mom passed away in 2014, and I became distant to many of my family members. It was easier not to call or visit, and it was easier not to drive from Houston to go through Moscow or Corrigan. Last year, my Aunt Kay and my Aunt PJ suggested that I go visit Nanny. In November of 2019, my daughter Courtney and I went to visit Nanny at her apartment. We took her Olive Garden. Nanny gave me a Bible that she had gotten from me, and she had written a very special message in it. I did not really feel it was the time to talk to her about old memories, but it was a good visit. I never thought it would have been the last time I ever knocked on door 31B. And it's amazing how God works. In December of last year, I was furloughed from my job, and I relocated back to Lufkin. Nanny had fallen and was now in the nursing home. I was able to spend many a days visiting her and was able to meet several of her church friends. Instead of her making me dessert, I was taking her dessert. She would tell me what she wanted, and the next day I would take it up to her. We had a chance to privately talk about the past and me growing up and moving away. She frequently told me how she had prayed for me and my children over the years, even when I did not visit or did not call. But I was able to thank her for the prayers and for the memories that we had shared together. She continuously spoke to me about how she was ready to get to her heavenly home and see her loved ones. There is no doubt that Nanny is in heaven. I feel she is smiling and looking down on all of us as we're gathered here to celebrate her life. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for the prayers for our family.
Your mention of the sweets and Olive Garden is going to give me an excuse to violate my diet and go have a chocolate black tie mousse cake in her honor. Kay Brock, if you want to come and share some words.
Before I start, there was a poem that Marguerite thought a lot about, and it was by Nancy King Rowland in Austin, Texas, and she may have gotten it here at church, but I found about 20 copies of it. So I want to read that. It's called My Wish. Grieve not for me when I shall die, for I shall be up in the sky. To meet my Lord whom I adore, then I shall wait for many more. To come into this wondrous place from many climes and every race. A life of love I've tried to live, my sins I hope he will forgive. Loving friends and children too have made me happy and not blue. I wish for good things for all mankind, and all to have a great peace of mind. Grant me, God, these things I ask, and make me happy at the last. Now, those that I think I've met just about all of Marguerite's friends, but I am married to her youngest, Dennis. Marguerite left me as her executor to her holographic will. But, of course, she didn't wait for me to do the honors. She orchestrated most of it before she passed. I do hope that I have honored her wishes in accomplishing the remaining tasks that she left in my care. But I ask the congregation as a whole's indulgence as I share some excerpts from her handwritten will. I'll dispense with the bequeaths. As I said, she took care of most of that before she left us. I'm going to go in order of what she wrote, how she felt, and who she felt led to mention. As far as friends, she mentioned Ronnie Schaefer, David Cook, other friends, the church. Those were the things that she felt compelled to mention. Now, Johnny, she didn't mention her first child, David Holt, except when she mentioned Johnny. And this is how she felt when she wrote this. David's death left a hole in my heart. And he did that, and David preceded her in death. Now, she said to my second child and oldest daughter, Rita Jane Holt Wright, Rita was my rock of Gibraltar. She was kind, generous, and a devoted daughter. And Rita, of course, also preceded her in death. She mentioned her third child and second son, Michael Clayton Brock, who preceded her in death. But before his passing, I want you to know that he and Marguerite became very close after years of being apart. She mentioned her fourth child and youngest daughter, Margaret Ann Price. And Margaret Ann was very, very helpful after David passed away in kind of picking up the slack and helping us as far as financially with her mother. And then she said to my fifth child and youngest and only baby son, Dennis Glenn Brock, she said he was my sweet and generous son. Now she also mentioned me. Yay. She said, my thoughtful, kind, and generous daughter-in-law, I knew how she felt, she called me Sunshine. She bought me many books and was good to me. She was attentive, thoughtful, and generous. Patricia Jean Brock, PJ, my lovely, dedicated, and generous former daughter-in-law. She brought my small grandchildren to visit often. Bought many items in my apartment. Took me shopping and was very generous in writing me checks. I loved her from the beginning, and she signed that nanny. She mentions her stepdaughter, Martha Lou Chapman. She continued on with her grandchildren. She said, David's sons, Johnny, James Holt, oldest son of my preceded in death, oldest son and my firstborn child. She mentioned Travis Lee Holt. She wanted Travis to know, Cookie, that I leave my love. I love you, Travis. You have a loving heart. Rita's daughters, she mentioned Martha Barthold and Kathy Jane Miles. Michael's children, she mentioned Courtney Jean Brock Chandler. Of Courtney, she said, you have my old holy Bible. I used it each morning while reading the upper room. And these days. And she mentioned Adrienne and Clay. And she mentioned David Michael Brock. And she said about David, I leave hope that you will have a successful life. She mentioned Margaret Ann's daughter, Melissa Stone Dudley. She said, Margaret Ann, she said to Melissa, I leave prayers that she will live a Christian life. She asked of her children, that they please keep in touch with my sweet stepdaughter and husband, Martha and Tommy Chapman. They have been so good to me over these years with visits, gifts, and always money during the holidays. She also put in their phone number and address, but I think you'd probably want to get that from Martha and Tommy instead of me. She mentioned her church, of course, and several close friends. I tried to contact as many as I could. And finally, she says to my great-grandchildren, I leave my legacy of A, love, B, I pray, an example of Christian living, and C, be a great asset to your family, your friends, community, city, state, and country. And to all of us, she said, a message of wisdom I learned, I pass on to you. I have experienced and seen the four priorities in this journey of life. 1, God in your life. 2, health. I know some of you are shaking your head, we've heard it. 3, family. And 4, friends. She signed off with this last statement. I am looking forward to meeting my Lord and seeing some of my loved ones. Signed, Marguerite Brock, Mother, Mama, Nanny. Thank you.
I'm going to read from just a few verses from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I think you know why I chose that, because Marguerite let her light shine. It was wonderful. So many ways that could be described in how she did that, but here in her last days, I do remember that when she did fall and the ambulance had to come get her, all the little children that lived around came out because, of course, they heard the sirens and whatnot. And when they were taking Marguerite to the ambulance on the stretcher, oh, Miss Brock, we're going to pray that you come home soon. Oh, Miss Brock, we're going to pray that you be okay. How did these little kids know to pray? One reason is Marguerite. She'd smile. She wasn't just some elderly neighbor. She was a neighbor that would smile and say, God loves you. And she would give witness to the Lord. And, you know, she had to then transition into the nursing home. And for many people, if you're realizing it's time that you got to go into a nursing home, that's about as dark as it can get. I mean, a lot of people go there thinking they're going there to die. Not Marguerite. Her light was shining bright. She knew she was going there to go on to live. I mean, it was incredible. She didn't see that as a place where things would come to an end. She knew that she was going there to receive a very fast approaching sunrise that would bring her the dawn of an eternal day. And so it wasn't going to be for her end. It was going to be her beginning. It wasn't going to be for her some restriction. It was going to be a reunion with the Lord. She said, this is where the Lord is going to come get me. She said it with a smile. She didn't fear death. She knew Jesus had conquered it. And so when most people go in complaining and maybe even holding on to the rails so you can't even get them in there, Marguerite was like, no, this is where the Lord's going to take me home. And so what she did while she was there, she tried to tell every nurse, every attendant, and every person in there, God bless you. Because she wanted them to know there's a God that she knew oh so well. And so Marguerite, she's that light on a hill. God shined the light of love in her heart, and it made her love her family even more. God shined that light of love in her heart, and it carried her through those moments when she had to bury her own children, and God shined the light of his love in her heart so that even when hardship came, she didn't fear, because ultimately she knew God would see to it. She was victorious. So she went into the nursing home saying, "This is not my end. This is where God, if death comes, is just going to use it as a door that he opens, and Jesus himself is going to reach through, take me by the hand, bring me in, and say, 'Welcome home, my good and faithful servant.' And there in that eternal home, I'll get to see those children of mine once again." And she's probably getting a turkey ready for noon when the rest of you get there. Yeah, that's right. I'm sure they keep perfect time up there. I picked out a poem, and it is so close to the one that Marguerite wrote, I didn't even know you were going to do that. But I do think she would want us to hear it, because it would be reflective of what she would want to say to us right now and forever as she rejoices in the presence of the Lord. The author is unknown, but this poem says, "I'm home in heaven, dear ones, oh, so happy and so bright. There is perfect joy and beauty in this everlasting light. All the pain and grief is over, every restless tossing past. I am now at peace forever, safely home in heaven at last. Did you wonder I so calmly trod the valley of the shade? Oh, but on Jesus' arm to lean on, could I have one doubt or dread? Then you must not grieve so sorely, for I love you dearly still. Try to look beyond earth's shadows. Pray to trust our Father's will. There is work still waiting for you, so you must not idly stand. Do it now while life remaineth. You shall rest in Jesus' land. When that work is all completed, he will gently call you home. Oh, the rapture of that meeting. Oh, the joy to see you come." Amen. Let us go to God and thank him that she has gone to perfection, and that she no longer has to gaze upon the Lord as if in a dim mirror, but gets that privilege of being to see him and know him face to face. Let us pray. Oh God, source of all true wisdom, we ask that you would calm the troubled waters of our hearts and still all other voices but your own, that we might continue to hear and obey what you tell us in your word as we seek to live in the power of your Holy Spirit. We do thank you for your grace, which has given us a new and living hope in Jesus Christ. And we do thank you that by dying, Christ destroyed the power of death, and by rising from the grave, opened the way to eternal life. Help us to know that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our victorious Lord. Do remind us that your love is present for us, because we do need your assurances. We need to be reminded that you can be seen in the compassionate eyes of those who love us. We need to be reminded that your presence can be felt in the warm embraces of those who seek to comfort us. We do need to be reminded that your voice can be heard as your divine words of Scripture are read. Thank you so much for Marguerite's witness and example, for the influence and inspiration that she had on our lives, for your gift of faith that gave her confidence to so love the world that you love and leave it better than she found it so that others may benefit, we say thanks. For her great devotion to family and love of her children and their children, for her joyful and dedicated service in and through your church, for being salt of the earth that did not lose its saltiness, thank you for Marguerite. Because your Holy Spirit is with us now, help us to believe where we have not seen, trusting you to lead us through our years, just as you did with Marguerite. Keep us confident with that same life-giving power that raised Jesus from the grave, that you will bring us at last with all your saints into the joy of your home through Christ our Lord. And as we consider who Marguerite was and now is, comfort us. Fill us with resurrection joy as we come praying the way in which Jesus taught us by praying together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Cynthia once again is going to bless us with another one of Marguerite's favorite, Amazing Grace. Awesome. Adrienne Brock Pierce, if you want to come up, she's going to share a very confident passage of hope from Romans chapter 8.
Hi, everyone. We're reading from Nanny's Bible today, so I just wanted to share that. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
This is going to be a prayer where we just really do entrust Marguerite to the wonderful care of God. It's what we call a prayer of commendation. And when that prayer is over, you'll have a minute to just reflect on your memories of her as we hear the song, "You Are So Beautiful." But for now, let us trust Marguerite to the Lord's keeping, as she was able to do throughout her whole life. Let us pray. O God, before whom generations rise and pass away, we praise you for all your servants who, having lived this life in faith, now live eternally with you. And once more, we say thank you for your servant, Marguerite, whose baptism is now made complete in death. We praise you for the gift of her life, for the memories that we made, for all in her that was good, kind, and faithful, for the grace that you gave Marguerite that kindled in her the love of your dear name and enabled her to serve you so faithfully. We rejoice that for Marguerite, death is past, pain is ended, and that she's entered the eternal joy that you have prepared. And so we do commend to you our dear sister in faith, Marguerite Brock, into your merciful care, in the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'll give the benediction and then I'll be leading the family out. If you don't mind, just so that we can keep good distance and safe practice, the majority of them will be outdoors so that y'all can share memories and wish well. But as you go into the rest of your days here on earth, may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working among us that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory now and forever. Amen.